Not yet. I never like leaving guys that are healthy that have played well out. You know, two of those guys played fine, did some good things. So you don't like to leave them out too much. I also haven't gotten everybody in yet, and I like having a guy who's a natural center in the lineup. So there's sometimes some job security in role-specific positions. They've played that same hard game for years. You know, they won't give you any easy ice to play on. I thought we were a little fatigued when we played them at home here. It was 5-8, I think, and I thought we showed it a little bit. That being said, it was a real tight game to the end, and so we're both kind of coming off the gut. We're both hoping to get that first game out of our system and off we go. But I think that all of our games, that's not a function of the Winnipeg Jets, but everything that you saw last night, versions of it are going to happen for the last 21. It's all going to be like that. Every puck's contested. There were some things in that game, that in the Nashville game, that I think we're further along on. And we did a better job of it last night in terms of where we put pucks in the offensive zone, things like that. Yeah.
Are you okay with
now you like it. For me, now at this time of year, let's play every second day. Yeah, you get into a rhythm of that. You're really, at this point of the year, different situation because I'm a new guy, but if you're into February and March, you're teaching for the most part. It's done. Everybody knows what we're trying to do, and you're making little adjustments to the lineup and to team by team, but every second day is good. Yeah, time and energy. You want them to be able to get enough minutes over the course of a game that you can keep your top end guys fresh. And I'd like the energy in the offensive zone time, you know, not just to be defensive specialists. I want these guys to try to start scoring some goals by spending some time in there into the ice and moving puck. And there's some speed down there, and there's certainly some size with whoever we put in for the most part. So I'd like them to start feeling like they're not out there just to hold water. You know, they're out there to push the pace and to try to score and be the difference in the game. I mean, when the other team's got the puck, all four lines are doing the exact same thing. But when we've got the puck, clearly, you know, your top lines are going to generate more on skill, but there's something to just put in the puck at the net and go into the net, and they should be able to do that. So I'd like to see them. And I think having a center iceman like Jimmy, who's got some certainly earned the confidence of all the coaches he's played for, being a reliable guy, that you can get him out there and use him in some defensive zone faceoffs and feel comfortable with that. I did with Jimmy last night. I didn't a little more careful about how many minutes he was going to play, and then just the rotation off the bench. And once it got tight in the third period, I was actually thinking, we've been off 2 weeks, I'm going to run the top end as hard as I can, because it's a bit of a conditioning skate for them. You know, I mean, I'll let those guys go. So I haven't played the fourth line a whole lot since I've been here. That's a function of me actually trying to play the second and third lines more, not necessarily running the top end harder. I don't know how much more that's going to change, but I would like to get their minutes up a little more than they are now. Yeah, you know, I will if it gets to the point that I'm starting to worry about those guys not feeling connected to what's going on here. You know, I haven't seen that yet. All the guys that out handled it well, practiced hard. That's the challenge of having extra guys at this time of year. You want them to make sure they're a part of it so that they're going to get a chance, man. They're going to get to play on injuries alone, even if it's not coach's decision. They're going to get in the lineup. But I would get to them, being that he's been through that role for so long, if I feel I need to. I haven't felt it yet.
Paul, you have besides having everybody score, you have a certain shootout strategy, like in terms of the order, the players that you send out?
So we'll go through kind of historical shootout percentages, and then we'll match that up to recent history. Then you probably let a little feeling creep in for a guy that's hot, a guy that's feeling good. I've had good players over the years tell me no. You know, they're not feeling it. And probably surprise you, some of those guys are, you know. And then there's a guy on your bench that's feeling it every night and he never gets a chance. That's probably why he's feeling it. He's looking at you, he's ready to go. I do have you never want to leave your best shooter on the bench. So the guy with your best percentage is never coming out third unless he's been having a tough time recently. But you never want to get stuck with your best shooter having not gone. Each player, the guys that go, kind of have a hole that they like, that they feel comfortable. And those are the things we've all talked about going in. And then so I've got a list. When I say I, Pascal Vincent's got a list on the card that he keeps. And we'll move those around just based on feel if you had to. But last night's order was the order that was on the card. Yeah, so you know what? And that's part of what you really like about it, Chris, because he sits in on the power play meetings, he sits in the penalty killing meetings, and as he should, you know, he's taking it all in, he's ready to go, and would love to get to a point in the season. I really would get to the point in the season that you had enough points that you could use some of those guys that should go. You know, have some fun with the shootout, you know, and not have it be the life and death when you scratch and claw for 65 minutes and it's a shootout point and you need every single one. I'd love to get to that point where you could put the guys who blocked, you know, go by block shots. Whoever had the most block shots gets to shoot first, you know. That'd be great. It's not going to happen in the next 21, I don't see. So tell them to keep preparing.
There's been a lot of talk lately amongst fans about Andre Pavlik's play. Some
yep.
like him, some don't like him, some aren't sure he's a number one goalie. Does he have a lot of room to grow in your mind, or do you feel like he's very good?
As far as the growth, I mean, I kind of have that feeling about everybody, and that's more of a philosophy on each player. What can we get more out of each guy? I haven't felt so. I've kind of heard, and while I don't read a lot of stuff, I have picked up on the fact that I think people have viewed his game as a there's a real gap between on and off for him. That the consistency is the word. I've never felt that was fair from being an outside viewer. I think that maybe he's a victim of some of the wins, some of the play that he's had that you just couldn't believe he made that save. And I know from that happened to us, you know, after kind of Atlanta broke through, we went a long stretch where we beat him every time. And when they started winning games, you left the bench to go on. I'm not sure how he made the last four saves, but you know, I'm going to watch that on video. The first 20 I almost understood, but the last ones were really – but if that can't possibly be your expectation level for a goaltender. So my feeling on Pav is that when he doesn't reach that game because they've seen it enough, they feel he's underperformed, and I just don't think that's right. I don't think that's fair. We had some games even this year where we gave up three or gave up four and found a way to win. He still made good saves in those games, and that happens to great goalies. So I've got a little more time for his consistency than maybe I've heard about. But he's still he's still young. Like, he's still at the point in the career that those guys are, you know, he hasn't reached that stage where he goes on a long stretch and you go, well, he's going to be fine. There's only a handful of guys that ever reach that Brodeur stage that you don't even consider a tough stretch. So he's like the rest of them. He's got to prove it every day. There's a lot of pressure that comes with that. I'd like to think we're going to give him a better chance to do that. And that's not a statement of the first 6 months here. That's me thinking back 3 and 4 years watching them play. That, you know, who knows? And 2 months isn't going to be the answer. Like, we've got to give this guy some time and let him get into a confident groove where he knows he doesn't have to do that to win.
Are you an analytics type guy? Do you get stats to say he's got a saves percentage that's below the average for the number one goalies in the league? Or do you?
Yeah, well, I would start the analytics from January 13th is where I'd first start. I mean, those are basically all the stats that I'm looking at, how many minutes I'm playing a guy, what he's done there. And again, it's not a statement that everything prior to that was wrong. I didn't see it. I don't it's tough for me to assess what happened here. You got to watch a hockey team practice every day and play every minute of every game, and then watch the video at least once the next day before you really can assess a player. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time looking at his numbers from 5 months ago.
Okay, guys.
Okay, thanks, guys.